Well, we're going to be in Luke 10 tonight, so you can go ahead and turn your Bibles over there. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. We'll get there in just a moment. So there's a thing now that perhaps wasn't quite as big of a thing several years ago, and that is distracted driving. You hear a lot about that now, and as a matter of fact, I believe tickets can be given for distracted driving, specifically when it comes to text messaging while you're driving. I one time looked over at a stoplight. The car next to me, inside, the driver was eating a bowl of cereal. I call that distracted driving, right? Can't send a text message, but you can eat a bowl of cereal. Distracted driving, putting on makeup, that's a common one that we talk about with distracted driving. Moms turning around trying to discipline their kids while they're driving. Distracted driving. And obviously the problem is that it's dangerous. Dangerous for the driver. Dangerous for the passengers in the car. Dangerous for the people that are driving the other cars on the road. And so we would hope that those who are driving in other vehicles are not distracted, but are focused on the task at hand, which is driving down the road, hopefully following all the traffic laws. And so being distracted can be a serious problem. It can be a dangerous problem if in the right situations or the right context. So in Luke 10, 38 through 42, we're going to run into somebody who, no pun intended, who is distracted. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And this is in Bethany, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" I always picture here imagine, I guess would be a better term for it. There's kind of a whininess in this, but perhaps that's not the right way to think about it. But that's how I hear that or imagine it. "Tell her to help me," Martha says. The Lord responds, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." So we're continuing our series on the one thing, and we find one here in this passage. Jesus says, few things are needed, or indeed only one, and it's Mary who has chosen the right thing, the better thing, and it will not be taken from her. So what was it that Mary chose to do? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what the rabbi had to say. Of course, she takes the position of a disciple in sitting at the Lord's feet. And Ray Vanderlaan has helped me to see that this position at a rabbi's feet, it's a place of learning and understanding. It's a place to soak up the teaching and very life of a rabbi, saying, "I want to not only learn from this rabbi, but I also want to become like this rabbi." That's what Mary is indicating by sitting at the Lord's feet in this situation. And she's doing what the King James Version says is the one thing needful. Martha, on the other hand, she's busy getting the meal ready for Jesus and others. We can't really blame Martha for doing this. She was being a good host, doing what was expected of her in this situation. Jesus, of all people, is at her house. And so she, of course, wants to get things prepared just right. She's actually doing an honorable thing in this moment, striving to be a host that takes care of the meal and ensures that she's demonstrating hospitality. But Luke mentions that she is distracted. The King James Version here says, "Cumbered about much serving," is Martha here in this story. Martha says to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" Trying to like move Jesus here, that Mary has left all the work up to me. Tell her, Jesus. I love Martha here, right? She's pretty audacious. Tell her that she needs to help me. Get in the kitchen and help with the preparation. Of course, the Lord's response to Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things. You are careful and you're troubled about so many things. Only one thing is needed right now." And Martha, I hate to tell you it, but it's Mary who has chosen the better thing. Two observations quickly about Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. One is that she had entered into the public space of the house. Historians tell us that this space, the public space of the house, was generally reserved for men. Historian and scholar N.T. Wright puts it this way: "For a woman to settle down comfortably among the men was bordering on scandalous. Who did she think she was? This was a matter of what was thought of as the appropriate division between two halves of humanity." Mary just busts right through that appropriate division, doesn't she? Secondly, she takes the position of a disciple. Now, we know that Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, right? Rabbi-disciple relationship. Generally, to sit at the feet of a rabbi was a male role. Again, historians tell us this. In sitting at the Lord's feet, she was learning from him, but she was doing something that most of the time only males did. I mean, from young boys on through adolescence, but typically it was men that did this. To be a disciple meant that she wanted to be like the rabbi. She wanted to be, in this case, like Jesus, a man. And so what are we to make of these two observations here? I believe what Luke is trying to tell us, and he tells it in many different accounts of Jesus' work, his earthly ministry, that the gospel is for all people. God's love, embodied and preached by Jesus, embraces everyone, men and women, Jew and Gentile. Women who in many cultures over the years, and in some places even today, have been pushed to the side. But in the kingdom, and what we see with Mary, in choosing what is better, she is demonstrating that women play an important role in the kingdom. Not only are they embraced, but they have the opportunity to be ambassadors of the good news of Jesus, just like men. Jesus had just told the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And it's in that story that the Samaritan plays the role of the hero. He's the one that demonstrates what being a good neighbor is all about. So you have a Samaritan in that parable that Jesus tells, and now in Luke 10, 38 through 42, it's Mary, who's the disciple, who is demonstrating that the gospel is for all people. I thought about some ladies in my life that have sat at the Lord's feet and have taken it to being channels of the gospel in the way that they've lived their life. And so I thought of Ruth Watson, a lady who was a part of the congregation I grew up attending, one that was so caring and loving, taught Bible classes, always showed a genuine interest in everybody that she interacted with. She is one that sat at the Lord's feet, and it impacted not only her, but others. Thought of Denise Weeks, who was the one that organized the clothing giveaways that the congregation I attended growing up would do. you spend days, even weeks, preparing for that, getting others involved, this opportunity to have a force in the community for good, much like the food pantry and the clothes closet that we have here does as well. Again, I've thought of Millie Becker, you know, teaching Bible class, watching her have the ability to teach Adeline about God and about his son. I've thought of my mom, you know, one who right now they're starting their week of camp, and for I don't know how many years now teaches a Bible class at church camp and goes and roughs it without AC, and it's Ohio, so it's not that big a deal, but without AC and camp food. You know what I'm talking about when I say camp food, but that's what she does. And this is kind of cool. My dad's retired now, so he's with her at church camp, a week of camp for all ages, and she has the opportunity to teach kids about God and his son. She sat at the Lord's feet. It's making a difference not only in her life, but in other lives as well. I think of Sarah, one who sits at the Lord's feet, and now it's making an impact in so many lives, specifically Adeline and Audrey's, but in mine as well. Think of Linda Binskin, someone who is continually there to help and to serve, teaching and interacting with people with a gospel-shaped life and a way of communicating. I think of Virginia Nix, someone that is continually helping and serving and caring. These ladies, and there's some that likely you are thinking about as well. I look at Mary Letty there. Think of these ladies. Some of them you could think of. They've sat at the Lord's feet, and in turn, which is the really powerful part of, they have helped lead others to the Lord's feet. So Martha, we're told, is distracted, right, by all the prep work. And that's such a strong term to talk about what she's doing. I think she would push back and say, I'm just trying to be hospitable. It's Jesus, after all. Jesus says, you're worried and upset about many things. We have to ask, does this resonate with you, Martha's condition at this point, how Martha is? It certainly resonates with me, wanting perhaps to do the right thing, but distracted. And so perhaps you can think about distractions in your life. What are some things that perhaps pull you away from sitting at the Lord's feet? A distraction, I believe, is anything that keeps us away from learning from Jesus and growing because we have heard his teaching, because we've interacted with him, because we've watched him interact with others. And so we think of distracted driving. It's a problem, right? Sending a text, eating, makeup, all of that. It's because it's dangerous, right? And Satan certainly wants to distract us. He wants to take our focus off the road and off of others and what we're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus said that Martha was worried and upset about many things. And what we see in our lives is that there's so much to be worried about. But he says, verse 42, few things are needed, or indeed only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. In other words, this is going to have a profound impact on not only her, but all of those that she spends time with as well. I planned it for Audrey to start crying as we're talking about distractions, right? And so in this story, what was the better choice? Was it to cook a meal, set the table, ensure that the lighting was just right and that everything was set out just perfectly? In this story, the better choice is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And so, tomorrow, I would imagine that there will be distractions. There will be things that will try to get us worried and upset about many things. And the question is, what will we do? Will we choose the one thing that's needed? Will we choose what is, in Jesus' words, the better choice? I think sitting at the Lord's feet like Mary did for us today is doing things like what we're doing now, spending time in the Word together with the people of God, attending Bible class and Bible study, spending time in worship, reading Scripture and meditating on it. Ezra did a great job on Wednesday night teaching here in the auditorium, and he talked about something that's made an impact on his life called the 2020 Challenge. And that is reading the Bible for 20 minutes a day for 20 days. And that's something that has helped him in his faith as he's sat at the Lord's feet, so to speak. Perhaps something that's something that you would like to try as well. Of course, spending time in prayer with the Father as well. All of these things, they focus us on God and His Son. And of course, as we focus on Him more and more, we learn how He wants us to live, how He wants us to see other people, how He wants us to approach situations, conflict, issues that we face in our life. And we recognize as we read the rest of the story in Luke and the other Gospels that Jesus is the source of life. He's the source of salvation. We find out that true life, eternal life, comes from Him. So what is better than focusing on Him? If we recognize that when we have Jesus, we have it all, why wouldn't we focus on Him? If there's anybody here today that is in need of the prayers of the church family, we say this all the time, but we're here for one another. Pray with each other, in Paul's words, to bear each other's burdens. And so if you have something on your heart tonight that you'd like to share, please feel free to do so as we spend time in worship, singing an invitation song. Perhaps tonight you're ready to give your life over to Jesus and baptism. If that's the case, we would absolutely love to witness you do that today, recognizing that you find salvation in that way. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.